What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together today of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our special theme this week is our pre-Hanukkah music special. We'll also have a visit from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio18@gmail.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. The opinions of the host and guests on Too Jewish are their own and not those of the radio station. Too Jewish is paid for by Too Jewish Radio Programs and Podcasts, Tucson, Arizona. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom. Thanksgiving's coming up this Thursday. It turns out that this quintessential American holiday is actually Jewish and closely related to the upcoming festival of Hanukkah besides. First, any holiday where you get together with your whole family, including those relatives you don't really like, and overeat must by definition be Jewish. Next, historians tell us that our pilgrim forefathers based the original Thanksgiving on the Jewish biblical celebration of Sukkot, the harvest feast of booths or tabernacles. The Mayflower Puritans studied Hebrew with a Sephardic rabbi in Leiden, Holland, before sailing for Massachusetts. When they decided to thank God for their first harvest in Cape Cod, they modeled their festival on Sukkot, that Jewish outdoor celebration of gratitude. Interestingly, Hanukkah, which begins the evening of Sunday, November 28th, just 1 week from tonight, is also based on Sukkot. When the Maccabees recaptured the temple in Jerusalem, cleansed it, and rededicated it, they held an eight-day festival of Thanksgiving based on the pilgrimage festival they'd been unable to celebrate while the Syrian Greeks controlled Jerusalem and the temple. So they celebrated Sukkot late that year. The practice caught on, and it became the holiday of Hanukkah and is immortalized in those eight lights we kindle over the eight-day festival. Oh, one more item to remind you that Thanksgiving is truly a Jewish holiday. The Hebrew word for gratitude is hodu, from the same root word we use for todah, thank you. And the Hebrew word for turkey is hodi, basically the same word with a very slightly changed last vowel. In other words, we're saying thanks, and we are quite literally eating thanks. I'm not saying our ancient ancestors in Israel had turkeys, which originated in the New World, of course, along with potatoes and corn and pumpkins and most of the Thanksgiving stuff, cranberries, I guess. But I am saying that, well, turkey might just be the ideal food to eat based on its Hebrew linguistic origins. So definitely enjoy your Thanksgiving turkey this week. And while you are at it, give a Jewish prayer of thanksgiving to the one God who gave us the wisdom to celebrate all three of these wonderful festivals of gratitude, Sukkot, Thanksgiving, and Hanukkah. Now to play us in this morning on the subject of the last of those, here's the beginning of our Hanukkah music special melodies for Too Jewish this morning. We have a very unique Too Jewish today. This is the wonderful setting of Maoz Tzur, the Jewish Rock of Ages, usually attributed to Benedetto Marcello as performed by the Zamir Chorale. Now, the melody dates back to at least the early 1700s, and although it is usually attributed to Marcello, a Venetian nobleman, official, and fine composer, it is actually a transcription he made of a melody he heard at an Ashkenazic synagogue in Venice. Marcello took down 11 settings for songs or hymns that he heard in Sephardic and Ashkenazic synagogues in Venice, and in doing so contributed greatly to our knowledge of Jewish music 300 years ago. We are used to the German Jewish version of Maoz Tzur, you know, Maoz Tzur Yeshua Ti Lechana El Shabeach. This one is quite different and very lovely indeed.
Oh,
was the Zamir Chorale performing Benedetto Marcello's transcription of a gorgeous setting of Mazur for Hanukkah. Hanukkah's coming up a week from tonight. 8 wonderful nights of lights and latkes, and of course, lots of music. To hear more of the best of it, please join us for our fabulous Congregation Beit Simcha Celebrate 3 event on the 7th night of Hanukkah, December 4th. You can come in person. We'll be reveling in our 3rd anniversary, the 7th night of Hanukkah, the dedication of our Goodman family Bima. Lots of great food, drink, music, entertainment, and fun. Go to BeitSimchaTucson.org, BeitSimchaTucson.org, to sign up for Celebrate 3. When we return on To Jewish in just a moment, we'll continue our special preview of Hanukkah music, helping you prepare for the festival. Only 7 more shopping days until it all starts. That's 8 days minus Shabbat, when you really shouldn't be shopping anyway, not even on Amazon. Don't miss more of our Hanukkah music special when we come back in a moment here on To Jewish.
We are the soul of Tucson. We are your neighbors and friends. Our commitment to provide the very best relies on the finest products and services you, our community, has to offer. Together, we make Tucson thrive. When we win, you win. Casino del Sol, the soul of Tucson. Enterprise of the Pasquayaki tribe.
Congregation Beit Simcha, the House of Joy, a wonderful Jewish synagogue in northwest Tucson in the Catalina foothills, celebrates a great array of services, classes, and events this fall and winter. Established by passionate, caring congregants and me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, Beit Simcha is a vibrant, vital community that strives every day to serve God with joy. New progressive congregation in northwest Tucson and the Catalina foothills, Beit Simcha is open to everyone throughout the metropolitan area, providing weekly Shabbat services Friday night and Saturday, youth and adult education academy courses, life cycle ceremonies, social justice opportunities, outreach, and cultural Jewish programming. Join us for in-person Shabbat services Friday night or Saturday morning, or come on Facebook Live. Go to our website, BeitSimchaTucson.org, BeitSimchaTucson.org. We welcome both members and guests in our sanctuary in person, but safely. Call 520-276-5675. That's 520-276-5675. Beit Simcha Synagogue is located at 2270 West Ina Road, north side of Ina, just west of La Cholla, near the entrance to the Foothills Mall property in our own building. Services, classes, and events are open to everyone. Join us in person Friday night or Saturday morning or both. You can also email me, rabbi@BeitSimchaTucson.org. Or join us every Friday night on our Facebook page for Shabbat evening celebration services at 6:30 p.m. Saturday morning Shabbat services are at 10 a.m., all with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, leading them. Facebook page is Beit Simcha Tucson, BeitSimcha Tucson. Our services will continue by virtual experience, but also, of course, in person. All of our Adult Education Academy classes are live and on Zoom. You can access those through the website, Beit Simcha Tucson, or email me, rabbi@BeitSimchaTucson.org. Wonderful Religious School is available in blended format, too. Some students live, some on Zoom. And our fabulous Hanukkah extravaganza, Celebrate 3, is coming up Saturday night, December 4th at 6:30 p.m. You can also join me for virtual Hanukkah menorah lighting every night of Hanukkah at 5:30 p.m. on our Facebook page. For more about Congregation Beit Simcha, to come to services, our great religious school and Torah Tikes programs, bar and bat mitzvah, confirmation, high school programs, and rich array of Adult Education Academy courses in person and on Zoom, and our fabulous Celebrate 3 Hanukkah event. And of course, all of our services, in person or on Facebook, go to BeitSimchaTucson.org, BeitSimchaTucson.org, or call 520-276-5675. That's 276-5675. BeitSimchaTucson.org. Join me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, in the fastest growing and most vital Jewish community in southern Arizona in its exciting beginning years. My friends, I remember an episode of the old situation comedy TV show, Murphy Brown, that starred Candace Bergen. It highlighted Christmas, that show, but it had a Jewish character, and when all the Christmas music had been played, at one point he stood in the elevator all alone, and all he could do was sing, "Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay." It was, well, sad. Nowadays, in fact, there is a wonderful treasury of terrific Hanukkah music, and on this special edition of Too Jewish this morning, we're providing a kind of sampler of what's available today. We began our tour through Hanukkah with an 18th century Mazur, and here's a 21st century version from an Israeli group called Ner Mechaver, combining the song with a newer song, Nes Gadol Hayah Po. As they say in Israel, a great miracle happened here.
Ma was to Yeshuati Lechanae Leshabeach.
That was Mazur plus Nes Gadol Hayah Po by Ner Mechaver from Israel. When we come back in a moment, we'll have more of our Hanukkah musical special for this pre-Thanksgiving and just 1 week pre-Hanukkah edition of Too Jewish. If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, Kvetch or Kvel, please email us at twojewishradio18@gmail.com or visit our website, twojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through the website, toojewishradio.com, streaming us from there, downloading us from the Apple iTunes Store, is very popular Jewish podcast, top 10 in North America, according to Moment Magazine, over 100,000 downloads on Podbean.
Celebrate 3 is coming up fast. The best Hanukkah party in Southern Arizona features gourmet latkes, elegant appetizers, delicious drinks of all kinds, Hanukkah menorah lighting and songs, anniversary cake and desserts, dreidel gambling and games, elegant Hanukkah musical entertainment, a dedication, and much, much more. Join us Saturday night, December 4th for a fabulous celebration of three things. The seventh night of the Festival of Lights, Congregation Beit Simcha's third anniversary celebration, the dedication of our new Bima, and food, fun, and frolic. Celebrate 3 is the best way to rejoice on Hanukkah this year. Go to BeitSimchaTucson.org to sign up for Celebrate 3 and make it a wonderful Hanukkah in person this year. That's Saturday night, December 4th at 6:30 p.m. at BeitSimchaTucson.org. Celebrate, consecrate, and dedicate food, drinks, candles, and fun at Celebrate 3.
And now it's time for an occasional recurring feature of Too Jewish, our most serene Zen Judaism segment. To find serenity, you must be serene. To find peace, you must be peaceful. To find bargains, you must shop. Consider the tree, standing steadily in the face of rain and sun, weathering the chaos of the world without bending. You too can be like the tree, but you'll never get anywhere. Better become an accountant, like your cousin, Bernie. That was our Zen Judaism segment, two koans, just for you. We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
We've been talking about France and just slightly about the Jewish communities of France. And now we're going to begin to go in greater depth. Tell us about one of the more fascinating Jewish communities there.
Okay, so this is not the oldest Jewish community, but it is the place where the oldest synagogue still in use exists, and that synagogue dates from the 13th or 14th century, and it's in a very special area within Provence. It's a subcategory of Provence called Le Comtat, which is short for Le Comtat Venaissin, and that notion in and of itself requires some degree of explanation, because there used to be one comtat, like, which is sort of a county in Provençal, of Avignon, which is a very well-known city. And then adjacent to it...
That's a bridge in Avignon. There's a song about it.
Yes,
anyway,
there is.
Sorry, go ahead.
Adjacent to it was Le Comtat Venaissin. And this combined comtat grew into what is today the Department of the Vaucluse. And it's the only département in France that has some non-contiguous territory. There's a little bubble floating just to the north of it around a city called Valréas. So if you look at Vaucluse today, or Le Comtat historically, it's not one piece of territory, but actually two. And for about five centuries, it was one of the papal states. It belonged to the Pope, and it wasn't part of France or any kingdom or county or anything else. And it is not by coincidence that when one of the powerful French kings of the Middle Ages had his guy nominated as Pope, that guy never ruled as Pope in Rome, but rather they built a palace for the popes in Avignon, which is a magnificent, huge complex. And the popes ruled from there for less than a century. But the area around this palace was under direct control of the popes for four or five centuries. And it has a very old Jewish community that dates back to Roman times. And there were historically four or five cities within the Comtat which were like free for Jews to do whatever they wanted and be basically on an equal plane to non-Jews and a level playing field. So the Jewish population grew, and even in 1492, when Jews were expelled from Spain, oddly, they often fled to either the parts of Italy that were under direct control of the Pope or to the Comtat, where they were better protected than they were in other parts of Europe. So the Jewish community in the Comtat, with cities like Carpentras, Cavaillon, Avignon, and others, grew enormously with the expulsion of Jews from Spain, and it became largely Sephardic, but the Ladino speakers quickly adapted to the local language used by Jews, which was a sort of Judeo-Provençal, and developed their own rituals and whatever. And some of these synagogues are still in use today. Most of the historic Jewish population of this region was wiped out by the Nazis during the Holocaust. But a lot of it was replenished by Jews who fled North Africa when the French left. And that was three different countries, Algeria, Tunisia, and Morocco. But most dramatically and most recently, Algeria in the 1960s. So if you go to the synagogue in the middle of Avignon today, probably a good 90% of the people you meet will be of North African origin, and they will exemplify all the North African traditions of hospitality, food, melodies, language, etc.
Fascinating kind of a slice of Jewish life that goes back, oh, I don't know, what, 700 or 800 years, maybe more?
Oh, definitely more.
Fascinating. We will talk more about French Jewry and some of the other communities when we come back next week. Thanks, Tom.
I look forward to it.
We continue now with our Hanukkah music special. One more version of Maoz Sur. This is Yosef Karduner's beautiful Sephardic setting of the classic Hanukkah hymn, this time with many more verses.
Ma'oz etzur yeshuati Lechana ele shabeach Tikon beit tefilati Vesham toda nezabeach Le'et tachin matbeach Mi tzara menabeach Az gmor beshir mi חנוכת המזבח ראות סבא נפשי ביגון כוחי קהילה חיי מררו בקושי בשיבוד מלכות עגלה ובידו הגדולה הוציא הוציא את הסגולה חיל פרעה וכל זרעו ירדו כאבן במצולה דביר קודשו הביאני וגם שם לא שקטתי ובנו גס והגלני כי זרים עבדתי ויין רעל מסכתי כמעט שעברתי קץ בבל זרו בבל לקץ שבעים נושעתי קרות קומת ברוב
That was Yosef Karduner's Sephardic recording of Maoz Sur for Hanukkah. It starts a week from tonight at sundown. It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. Marcy asks her boyfriend Isaac to come over Friday night and have Shabbos dinner with her family and finally meet the parents. Since this is such a big event, Marcy tells her boyfriend that after dinner she'd like to go out and go all the way for the first time. Well, Isaac, the boy, is ecstatic, but he's never been with a woman before, so he takes a trip to the pharmacy to get some protection. The pharmacist helps the boy for like half an hour. He tells the boy everything there is to know about condoms. At the register, the pharmacist asks the boy how many contraceptives he'd like to buy, a 3-pack, a 10-pack, or the large economy pack. The boy insists on the economy pack because he says he will be very busy, it being his first time and all. That night, Isaac shows up at Marcy's parents' house and meets his girlfriend at the door. Oh, I'm so excited for you to meet my parents. Come on in, she says. Isaac goes inside. He's taken to the Shabbos table. The girl's parents are seated there. Isaac quickly offers to say a prayer and bows his head. A minute passes. He is still deep in prayer, his head down. 10 minutes pass. Still no movement. Finally, after 20 minutes with his head down, Marcy leans over and whispers to her boyfriend, "I had no idea you were this religious." Isaac turns and whispers back, "And I had no idea your father was a pharmacist." That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Two Jewish, just for you. You should live and be well, and careful with those pharmacists. And now a word of Torah. In a change of pace and literary emphasis, Joseph becomes the principal character of the last four weekly Torah portions in Genesis. Joseph's story is a more complete narrative than any that has preceded it. This forms a developmental transition from the short vignettes we're accustomed to in Genesis to the long narrative of Moses that begins with the book of Exodus and occupies the rest of the Torah. The Joseph story has been called the first truly modern piece of literature, filled with contemporary authorial techniques in the delineation of character and plot. Each segment ends in a cliffhanger, and the interplay of storylines and locations make the whole narrative vibrant, rich, and exceedingly compelling. This modernity of style is particularly impressive since the book of Genesis was written at least 2,500 years ago. The Joseph narrative stretches through a month of Torah readings. In the weekly portions of Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, and Vayechi, we find temptation and cunning, nobility and baseness, carelessness and probity, all juxtaposed and then thoughtfully counterpointed. The foolish gain wisdom. The wicked see the error of their ways. The impulsive learn restraint. Nothing is ever quite so simple as it seems initially in the Joseph story. It's a great tale, wonderful writing about fascinating characters. Joseph is one of the spectacular figures in the entire Bible. Brilliant, talented, arrogant, gifted with both remarkable vision and tremendous administrative skill. He's a youth of extraordinary promise who becomes a man of fate and determination, one who survives enormous trauma to reshape two nations' intertwined destinies. A remarkably contemporary character, Joseph is a brazen, spoiled boy who transforms into a subtle and deep man. It's not an easy process, but it begins with a bang in this week's portion of Vayeshev. At the commencement of this sedra, Jacob's beloved wife Rachel has died in childbirth, and in a pained overcompensation, Jacob spoils Rachel's oldest son, Joseph, giving him that famous coat of many colors, maybe a fancy embroidered tunic, who knows, but using him as a telltale, tattletale spy on his older, tougher brothers. The brothers' revenge is swift. Away from their father's eye, they capture Joseph and sell him into slavery in Egypt, implying to their father that a wild animal has killed him. After adventures that demonstrate Joseph's newfound virtue and spectacularly bad luck, this week's portion ends with Joseph stuck in an Egyptian prison, his father Jacob back in Canaan mourning his supposed death, all hope seemingly lost. There are two central messages in Vayeshev. The first we've heard in Genesis earlier, but it is now reiterated poignantly. Our children are all precious. Favoring the good one does no one any good. Treat each with love, as though, in fact, each of our children was truly an only child in receiving our love. That's the Jewish way to parent successfully. The second and greatest abiding message of the Joseph story is that God's plan will work, but we aren't always party to why or how long it'll take. Transformation, moral and intellectual, must first occur. We struggle and sometimes suffer in order to learn what we probably should have known from the beginning, that God is the true source of all good and of all understanding. For Joseph, his brothers, and his father, wisdom will prove to be hard won. Perhaps in reading Vayeshev, we can learn from their mistakes and so avoid the dramatic reverses of this great story. And then we ourselves may gain the wisdom to grow and change for the better. When we come back, we'll continue to revel in the wealth of Hanukkah music available on this coming Holiday of Lights on this pre-Hanukkah musical preview edition of Two Jewish, just 1 week until Hanukkah.
We continue with our Two Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
The video shared to social media last week showed Polish nationalists at a rally burning a book symbolizing the rights to live in Poland for Jews. The video shows a rally in Kaliz last week where far-right activist Wojciech Olszanski holds up a red book and skewers it through a stick held by another participant. Olszanski then drenches the book in what appears to be oil and sets it on fire. "Death to Jews," the Polish crowd shouted as the book was burned. That book immortalizes a 1264 document guaranteeing Jews protection and the right to live in Poland. The statute was signed by Prince Boleslaw the Pious, establishing a formal legal standing between Jews and non-Jews in Poland. The statute tackled the issues of authority over the Jewish population and defined rules under which Jews were allowed to engage in lending and trade, as well as norms related to their relations with Christians, explains an exhibition page from the Museum of the History of Polish Jews, the Polin Museum. The statute provided for penalties for desecration of a Jewish cemetery or synagogue. It contained provisions concerning blood libel directed against Jews. Well, this rally, just now, was one of many events scheduled by Polish nationalists to commemorate National Independence Day in the country, the anniversary of Poland's sovereignty. The book-burning event shocked observers. Rafael Pankowski, one of the leaders of a prominent anti-racism group in Poland, said it reminded him of book-burning during Nazi Germany, during which university students burned nearly 25,000 un-German books. "Having monitored anti-Semitism for 25 years, I've never seen anything like that," Pankowski said. In other news, the South African government has withdrawn its support for Miss South Africa, after the organization refused to pull out of the Miss Universe contest in Israel amid calls for a boycott to show support for the Palestinian people. Pro-Palestinian organizations have called on Lalela Mswane, crowned Miss South Africa in October, and the pageant organizer Miss SA to boycott the December event in Eilat in order to condemn Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. The Department of Sports, Art, and Culture said in a statement it tried to persuade Miss South Africa to withdraw from the event and still hopes to convince individually Mswane. The nation of South Africa has a long history of supporting Palestinians. Political parties, including the ruling African National Congress, the ANC, and some of the country's biggest trade unions support the boycott. At this stage, the participation of so-called Miss South Africa would be irrelevant, said Bram Hanekom, a board member at Palestinian Solidarity Group Africa for Palestine. "Nobody can say she's representing the country. It would leave her absolutely alone with the organizers who seem hell-bent to proceed." Actually, Mswane won the Miss South Africa contest. That's just false. And whatever you think of beauty contests as objectification of women, there is little doubt that women in Israel are much better protected and enjoy a much higher standard of freedom and opportunity than they do in any Arab country, including, of course, the Palestinian Authority, or perhaps even in South Africa now. In response to criticism of the pageant being held in Israel, the reigning Miss Universe, touring the Old City of Jerusalem in advance of the 70th Miss Universe contest, scheduled for December in Eilat, said, "Everyone with different beliefs, different backgrounds, different cultures, they come together, and when you are in there, you forget about politics, about your religion." Andrea Messa, the current Miss Universe, said ahead of a tour of Jerusalem's Old City, "It's just about embracing other women." Mesa, 27, is a software engineer who represents Mexico and was crowned in May during a COVID-delayed ceremony in Florida. Contestants there accessorized their sparkling gowns with face masks. She will hand over the crown in Eilat on December 12th. Hosting this show is, a kind of coup for Israel, which for years has confronted a grassroots Palestinian-led international campaign calling for BDS, boycotts, divestment, and sanctions. Israel hopes the pageant will draw tourists and project an image of Israel as a safe destination during the pandemic. The Miss Universe pageant draws contestants from Morocco and the United Arab Emirates this time, Arab countries that recently normalized ties with Israel. An anti-Semitic tirade at a school board meeting in Chandler, Arizona, that suburban Phoenix, last week spurred an extensive response among local officials and Jewish leaders, some of whom say they were distressed that board members did not rebut the comments at the time. During the public comment portion of the meeting of the Chandler Unified School District Board, a woman who identified herself as Melanie Rettler spoke for over a minute about critical race theory and vaccines, topics not listed on the meeting agenda, but at the center of heated public debate. Her comments crescendoed with an anti-Semitic claim drenched in the language of right-wing conspiracy theories. Every one of these things, the deep state, the cabal, the swamp, the elite, you can't mention it, but I will. There is one race that owns all the pharmaceutical companies, and these vaccines aren't safe, they aren't effective, and they aren't free, said Rettler. You know that you're paying for it through the increase in gas prices, the increase in food prices. You're paying for this. It's being taken from your money and being given to these pharmaceutical companies, and if you want to bring race into this, it's the Jews. The incident was the latest in a nationwide series of school board meeting disruptions of the sort that the U.S. Justice Department is now seeking to curb. But what happened next has spurred discussion, well, throughout Arizona. After Rettler walked away, Barb Mosden, the board president, addressed everybody in the room. Comments really need to be related to what the school board can do something about. This was not something we can do something about, she said. Please have your comments with something that is within our jurisdiction. Jewish organizations expressed outrage that Mosden and other board members didn't respond more strongly to the anti-Semitism. The Arizona chapter of the Israel American Council said it wrote the Chandler board, requesting that in the future the board members speak up in the very moment that such hateful lies are expressed. Our history teaches us that allowing such racism to pass unchallenged only invites more of the same. Meanwhile, the ADL sent a letter to the board and each member expressing concern about the remarks and called on the district to publicly demonstrate in the strongest possible way their commitment to fighting anti-Semitism and all forms of hate. The group added, the lack of response from board members to last night's public speaker who used blatant anti-Semitic tropes and stereotypes to promote anti-vaccine and anti-critical race theory views is simply appalling and dangerous. Exactly what school board members can do about comments like Rettler's isn't clear. Terry Locke, a spokesman for the school district, told the Jewish News of Greater Phoenix it would be a violation of Arizona's open meeting law for board members to discuss items not on the agenda. Board members in Arizona are allowed to respond to criticism, but what constitutes criticism isn't clear. Board members tend not to engage speakers extensively, said a spokesperson for the Arizona School Boards Association. The response after the meeting was more decisive. After Chandler's interim superintendent, Franklin Narducci, learned what happened, he got in touch with representatives of the Jewish community. Paul Rockauer, executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, the JCRC of Greater Phoenix, praised the district's outreach and collaboration with the Jewish community. So did Rabbi Michael Bayo, CEO of the East Valley Jewish Community Center in Chandler, who said he's pleased and grateful Narducci sought to collaborate. An ignorant person made an anti-Semitic comment. That's not newsworthy, said Bayo. I guess that's true. What is important is that the superintendent canceled all his meetings in order to deal with this. Narducci collaborated with Bayo to craft a statement condemning hate speech, denouncing the anti-Semitic statements. The district reaffirms its commitment to use its influence as a public educational institution to teach students the value of an inclusive community and give them the tools to engage our increasingly diverse society, the statement finally read. Chandler Unified School District denounces hate speech at all levels. And in happier news, Gabe Kapler, the Jewish manager of the San Francisco Giants, was named National League Manager of the Year last week. In his second year at the helm of the Giants, Kapler guided a team with low expectations entering 2021. People thought it would be under 500. Instead, they won a franchise record and league-leading 107 wins in the regular season. San Francisco lost to its rivals, the Los Angeles Dodgers, in the divisional round of the playoffs. Kapler's award is based on the Giants' regular season performance. Kapler earned 28 of 30 first-place votes, nearly unanimous, beating Craig Council of the Milwaukee Brewers and Mike Schilt, the recently fired manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. My goal is obviously to support the players and what their goals are, to create an environment that's helpful for players to grow and develop and for staff members to also grow and develop, said Kapler after winning the award. The 46-year-old Hollywood, California native has a Jewish tattoo on each leg, a Jewish star on his left leg, and never again, a reference to the Holocaust, on his right leg. Gabe Kapler played for six teams during his 12-year major league career, largely as a role player and backup outfielder. After retiring in 2010, Kapler played and coached for Team Israel in the 2013 World Baseball Classic, and he is now the manager of the year. Mazel tov. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews round the world. We return now to our Hanukkah music special edition of Two Jewish this morning. The classic Israeli Hanukkah song, Mi Malel, was given a new flavor by the Maccabees, Yeshiva University a cappella group who revolutionized Hanukkah parody music about a dozen years ago. This one's not a parody. This song is also known as Who Can Retell?
Gurot Yisrael otamim ne en mechodor yakum agibor goel ha'am Mim alel gurot Yisrael otamim ne en mechodor yakum agibor goel ha'am Shema bayamim ha'en vazman
Maccabi Moshiach Ha'ufod
Yaminu Kol HaYisrael Yitache Yakum Ve'yigarel
Mi Malel Gurot Yisrael Otam
Yisrael Otam
Can you tell the things that befell us who
can tell the things that
in every age a hero his hands came to our aid?
Can you tell the things that befell us
who can count them? In every age a hero his hands came to our aid.
The Maccabees version of Mi Malel, one of the best-known Israeli Hanukkah songs. There are many settings of the prayer we say after lighting the Hanukkah candles, Hanerot Halalu. We light these candles for the miracles and wonders you did for our ancestors at this time of year in those days long ago. This one is a cantorial version. Actually, it sounds a little bit like light opera, to be honest, as sung beautifully by cantor Binyamin Unger.
Hanerot Halalu Ado Mavrikim Hanerot Halalu Ado Mavrikim Bayan Nisim Bayan Niflao Bayal Al-Shuot Bayal Al-Milchamot She'asita La'azatenu She'asita הזמן הזה על ידי כהניך הקדושים וכל שבונות ימי חנוכה הנרות הללו קודשים וימי שבונות ימי חנוכה הנרות הללו קודשים ואין לנו רשתות להשתמש בהם אלא לראותם בלבד כי אין לנו רשתות להשתמש בהם אלא לראותם בלבד כדי להודות ולהלל לשיר לך
Since you are supposed to sing this Haneret Halalu prayer for all 8 nights, it gives you plenty of opportunities on Hanukkah to try other settings musically. For example, here's a lovely trio setting of a folk melody for the same text, Haneret Halalu. It's sung by Chava Morel, Deborah Sachs-Mintz, and Yosef Goldman. Another beautiful Haneret Halalu for the lighting of the Hanukkah candles. We played my dad's last week, which might be the most popular of them. Taking classic Hanukkah songs and rearranging them in dramatic ways from other musical genres started happening 20 years ago or so, maybe a little more. Kenny Ellis took a turn at that with the classic Sevivon Sov Sov about a dreidel, reimagining it as a big band number.
ריבון, סוף סוף סוף, חנוכה הוא חג טוב, חנוכה הוא חג טוב, סביבון, סוף סוף סוף, חג שמחה הוא לעם, נס גדול היה שם, נס גדול היה שם, חג שמחה הוא לעם. Sevivon, spin and turn, while the colorful candles burn. What a marvelous holiday, as we sing and dance and play. Tell the story, say the prayers, a great miracle happened there. It's the festival of life for 8 whole days and 8 whole nights.
While we have, in many ways, just scratched the surface of the varieties of Hanukkah music available today, we'll finish this Hanukkah music special after the break with a final original Hanukkah song by a popular music artist.
We are the soul of Tucson. We are your neighbors and friends. Our commitment to provide the very best relies on the finest products and services you, our community, has to offer. Together, we make Tucson thrive. When we win, you win. Casino del Sol, the soul of Tucson.
Enterprise of the Pasquayaki Tribe.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next week when our guest will be Rabbi Jack Romberg, author of the new book, A Doorway to Heroism, a decorated German-Jewish soldier who became an American hero. It's the story of his great uncle, Richard Stern, a decorated German soldier in World War I, a resistor in Cologne at the start of Hitler's reign, and a Silver Star decorated U.S. soldier in World War II. Don't miss it. And don't forget, join us at Congregation Beit Simcha in person every Friday night for services in Oneg Shabbat, all starting at 6:30 p.m. Saturday morning, too, 9 a.m. Torah study, 10 a.m. services, Torah reading, and Kiddush. Our playout this morning comes from Matisyahu, the rapper reggae star, whose name is the same as one of the great heroes of Hanukkah, Matisyahu HaChashmonai, Mattathias the Hasmonean. Naturally, Matisyahu has great Hanukkah songs, including our outro today, Happy Hanukkah. And go, sign up now for Celebrate 3. I'll wait for you. No, I won't. The fabulous Hanukkah Festival that celebrates the 3rd anniversary of my own congregation Beit Simcha, Saturday night, December 4th at 6:30 p.m. Food, drink, music, lights, latkes, menorahs, dreidels, silent auction, prizes, gambling, games, and much, much more. Go to BeitSimchaTucson.org, BEITSIMCHA, Tucson.org. Sign up now for Celebrate 3. My friends, have a healthy week, a great Thanksgiving. God willing, a Shavua Tov, a good week and a week, we pray, of peace.
Sponsored by Two Jewish Radio Programs, Tucson, Arizona.